we are gathered here. Lord Jesus, we are standing before your throne. Our risen King. Who are we, O Lord, that you're mindful of us this morning? Who are we, O God, that you even consider us this morning? We glorify your name. We glorify your name, Lord Jesus. We say, oh, hail King Jesus. We lift up our hands unto the heavens. And we magnify your name. Because you are worthy of all the glory and of all the honor and all the praise and all the adoration this morning. Be enthroned upon the praises of 1,000 generations, Lord. May the words of our mouths, the meditation of our lips, Lord, may they be acceptable before your throne this morning. You, Lord Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but you made yourself nothing. You took the form of a human. You were born as a servant. And you gave your life even unto death and even death on a cross. And therefore you were given the name, O God, that is above every name. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, amen, there is the name of Jesus, our resurrected Lord. Our Lord who is alive and alive and alive forevermore. Every knee here on earth, under the earth, and in the heavens shall bow down. And we shall declare that you are enthroned, O God. That you are worthy of glory. You are worthy of honor. Father, in this moment, we humble ourselves before you. We open up our hearts. We repent, O God, for not making you first in our lives. Father, forgetting the sacrifice of the cross. Forgetting, O Lord, that your body was broken for our sins, that your blood was shed that we might have life eternal. Father, we repent for not living our lives acknowledging that you are our King and our King eternal. But this moment, Lord, we stand before thee and we say, thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for us. When we were still sinners, Christ had already died for us. Greater love hath no man than this, than that he laid down his life for his friends. But today, Lord, we celebrate not only that you died on the cross, but that you rose, oh God, that you are a resurrected King. That you are alive and that you are alive and you live forever, oh God. So all glory, all honor, all praise, all adoration be unto your name, be unto your name, be unto your name this morning, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. We can take our seats. Welcome to church this morning. For our visitors and our guests, my name is Matt, and I have the amazing privilege of spending a few minutes sharing the Word of God this morning on such a special Sunday, such an amazing Sunday, where we remember the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. This Sunday is what separates us from book clubs. Do you know that? This is what separates us from a group of people having a social braai and just getting together because we get along. This Sunday is what separates us from every other religion. This Sunday separates us from a Facebook community and our communities at home. This Sunday is what separates us from everything else that is going on in the world. This is the Sunday that we celebrate that Jesus is risen, that we serve a living Savior. And that is great news. How many of you here like good news? Show me, by your hands. Almost everybody. Everybody loves some good news. We've been going through our theme this year as Every Nation, Miracles. And We've had so many amazing testimonies over the last couple of weeks. Someone came and testified that their business had received more profit in just the last couple of months than they've ever had in the last couple of years. That is amazing news, isn't it? We had a couple that came and shared a few weeks ago that the doctors had said to them that they were not able to conceive a baby, and miraculously, they fell pregnant. That is good news, isn't it? We had a friend that we were praying for as our follow group who had been through multiple surgeries, and the doctors had said he needed to be in hospital for one more surgery, and he'd been away from his family for weeks on end, and we were praying and trusting God for a healing, and he sent us a message to say, hey, I went for my last MRI scan before the surgery and they said I'm all clear and I need to go home. Isn't that amazing news? Got another friend here who a few months ago sent me a text. He took his then fiance to some town on the coast, and I sent him a message and I said, so what did she say? And he said, she said yes. And now they're happily married. Isn't that amazing news? AKA doctor said yes. That is amazing news. I remember about 23 years ago, I was on a bus, dusty bus, driving about 16 kilometers to go and collect my high school results. There were about 60 or 70 students in this bus, and as the bus was driving along, we were all chatting and talking about how great the holidays had been and, you know, how much we didn't miss boarding school. And slowly the bus got to the school. And when we got to the school, back then you'd get into a single file and you'd go into the headmaster's office. And he would print out a slip, and every one of us was given a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper were your results for your exams, your matric results. And all of us, all 60, 70 of us, went back into the same bus. Now, as this bus was now driving back, something changed in the atmosphere. When we came, we were all happy, we were all chatting, but on the way back, there were some people who were holding good news. They were talking about what they wanted to study at university, what profession they wanted to get to, how their parents were waiting for them at home and looking forward to their results because they knew they were carrying good news. In that same bus, there were other students who were a bit quiet because the news that they were carrying was not so great. They knew they had to go and face their parents and show them that they didn't have good news. And as I'm talking about this, some of you are getting recollections about some of the good news that you've received, some of the bad news that you've had to give over the last year or over the last few years. You see, life intricately is actually a balance between the good times and the bad times, the rivers and the valleys. And as you celebrate this weekend, what we actually see is there was a switch in the things for the disciples. A lot of them had left their homes, their families, their businesses to follow this man called Jesus. A lot of them had just left. They didn't even give a notice period. Just got out of the boat and they went. A lot of them had been called miraculously. Jesus had proved himself as the Son of God to them. And as they walked with him for 3 years, they saw the amazing. They saw this Jesus give teachings that were out of this world. His language, his metaphors, his similes, they were amazing. Even the educated people of the law, they were like, wow, the things that this man says, they are revolutionary. Not only that, but with him came miracles. They saw the blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak. They even saw the dead being raised to life. This man was amazing. They even saw the demon possessed being freed. This man had power. And then to add a level to that, they saw this man actually have control over the elements. They saw this Jesus walk on water. They saw him turn water into wine. They saw him still the storms. This man was amazing. And then this man not only was amazing, but he called them as disciples and he said, what I have, I give to you. And in twos, they went out into the villages with nothing but a sack and a stall. And they went and they started preaching, declaring the name of Jesus. And even they started casting out demons. Even they started healing the sick. And they came back and they said, Jesus, what you were doing, we're able to do it. And as Melinda so eloquently shared 2 weeks ago, they came into Jerusalem. Everyone's excited. We've seen all these things. It has been so amazing. We're at the highest of heights. We've got things going on. They're jostling for positions. I want to be close to Jesus. I want to sit at his right hand. But there was something wrong. As all these good things were happening, every now and then, Jesus would tell them he was going to die and be resurrected on the third day. Every now and then, he would drop a nugget and a statement and a short story telling them that he was going to die. But how many of you know that we only listen to the things that we want to hear, right? I marvel sometimes in the morning, and I say this to my wife this week, she'll be going on and on at my daughter, and then I say to her, you know she's not listening to you, right? Because people only hear what they want to hear. And so unfortunately, as we know, the story goes that Jesus is crucified, and he dies. And I'm trying to imagine myself as a disciple during this time. Some of them are counting their losses and they're like, oh, that business that I had. Will my employer take me back? Will I find my boat still there? How do I go back to my parents and tell them, look, you were actually right about that Jesus. He's dead. He's gone. We're all stuck. Nothing to do. How do I go back to my wife and tell her, honey, I'm sorry for the last 3 years that you've been staying alone with the kids. You were right about this Jesus. He's dead and he's gone. So, dark couple of hours, some of the disciples have gone back to their vocations. Some of them are stuck in a room. I'm trying to imagine what the mood was like in that room as they were sitting there. I suspect it was very sober. It was very sad because they witnessed the crucifixion firsthand. A crucifixion was a terrible, terrible way to die. That's why Isaiah talks about people not being able to recognize him. That he was someone that would be drawn to because he was crushed, he was beaten, he was broken. It was traumatic for these guys to see it. So I can imagine that the experience of them being in this room and waiting and looking at each other and saying, what now? Jesus is gone. And we come to a portion of scripture that we're going to be reading today in Luke chapter 23. This is the next morning after a few ladies have gone to the gravesite and they've gone with their spices and they're ready to work on the body and to do the embalmment and things like that. It was traditional for them. They come back and they say, hey, we went to the tomb. We didn't find this Jesus. In fact, we saw two angels that tell us, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? And they came and they told the 12, and the 12 were like, what are you guys saying? Are you saying it's not there? We need to see it for ourselves. And so they run off and they get there and says Peter goes in and he doesn't see Jesus. He sees, you know, the clots. He comes out and he says on that same day, this is where we pick up our reading. It says that very day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said unto them, what is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still looking sad. They were quite heartbroken. Then one of them named Cleopas answered and said, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went into the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets, all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if they were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because the entrance of your word brings life. Thank you, Lord, that when we listen to your word, we are illuminated, that we are set free, that we receive hope, that we receive clarity, and that ultimately that none of your words that come down to us return to you void. In the name of Jesus, amen. I keep thinking to myself, what was going on in the mind of these disciples as they were walking? Theologians say this was probably Clopas and his wife. Maybe they were thinking, look, let's go and see what things look like at home now. Maybe they were in fear. Their leader had just been crucified. Who was going to be next? Maybe they were just counting their losses and they were thinking, you know what? We've got the 12 there in that room. They're saying that the body is not there. You know what? We just want to flee from the scene of the crime in the nick of time. And they're on their way. And the Bible says as they're walking, Jesus himself started walking with him. And that just amazed me. Why would the risen king, who's got a million things to do now, who's now clothed in glory, why would he bother himself to walk with this couple that was maybe running away, that was maybe afraid, that was maybe timid, that was in a point of sadness? And the reason is Jesus is still seeking people. Our risen king is risen because he is still seeking people. When you read his teachings, when he tells us about the lost coin, how a person will turn his house upside down, even though he's got 99 coins, just to find the one. Or someone will leave his 99 sheep in the sheepfold just to go and leave the one. His example of a king of glory leaving heaven and all its majesty just to find us is because Jesus is concerned with seeking for people. He's concerned in finding you, regardless of where you're walking, regardless of what's the testimony of your mouth, regardless of what you're experiencing. You could be walking talking negatively. You could be experiencing a hard time. You could be walking in disbelief and under so much strain from the things that you've gone through. But you know, Jesus is still seeking after you. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save that which is lost." And as we even are walking away from him, Jesus' heart is still to seek after us. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord, they go to and fro in the world seeking. He is seeking you and I this morning. He is seeking our families. He is seeking our neighbors. He is seeking even those people that we have counted out. Those people that we're looking at and we're like, they're walking in the wrong direction. They're not in the room with others. They've actually left. They've abandoned sheep. They haven't come to church in a while. They haven't attended follow group. They don't answer to emails. Jesus is still seeking those people because he is risen. And once he starts walking with them, the irony of it, he doesn't pitch up and say, "Hey guys, it's me." He says he closes himself to them. He disguises himself. Another version says he was in a form that they could not recognize. They could not easily tell that it was Jesus. And he walked with them. How amazing is that sometimes, you know, God walks with us without us even knowing it. One day we were driving to Bulawayo. I was with my wife and it was late in the evening. And we had been in a town called Gweru, which is about an hour and a half from the second capital. And we'd gone to see my aunt, but she's a talker. And we were trying to leave, but she kept talking. She likes to talk and cook, talk and cook, talk and cook. Have you ever been to those houses where, like, they gave you tea, then they gave you bread, then they give you cookies, and you want to go, but you can't go because now they've got supper waiting for you. And it was getting late, and we knew that this road we were going to drive was quite dangerous. But before we drive, we always play as a family. God guide us. We drove through this highway, dark at night, raining. Suddenly, there were just a bunch of cows in front of me. And I'm not in a Formula One driver or anything. I don't remember how I stepped on the brakes or I navigated the car. But in a split of a second, we'd gone through a head of cars and we're on the other side. And at that moment, it's moments like that in our lives where maybe Jesus doesn't say, hey, I'm here with you. But he's actually walking with you. You may not recognize him in that moment. You may not see him in that moment. But you know what? He cares for you so much. He loves you so much. He wants to bless you so much. He walks just by your side. And he's listening to you. And Jesus says to them, what are you guys talking about? And they look at him and they say, dude, where have you been? Like, are you not on the internet? Do you not read the newspaper? Like, have you been in a coma for the last week? And just tell me, why are you guys so sad? Why is your countenance so low? And they started telling him, did you not hear about Jesus? About our Jesus? You know, and he's listening. He wants to hear the confession of their mouths. And he says, they say, we had thought that he was going to be the one to save us, to lead us. And they say to him, you know, he was a prophet who was mighty indeed and marvelous. And Jesus hears what they are saying. And he realizes that the cause of their disappointment, the cause of their sadness, is because they only thought that Jesus was a prophet. They thought that he was there just to lead Israel back into political freedom. And the Bible says, as they're walking, he starts to teach them about himself. He starts to go through the prophets, through the law, and to illuminate their minds and say, hey, this Jesus that you're talking about, he's just not a prophet. He's the Christ. This is what the word says about him. It says that he needed to die. It says that he needed to die and that he would be risen on the third day. And he starts to teach them. And you know what? Jesus is still teaching us today. Jesus is still interested in teaching us today. How does Jesus teach us? Through the reading of his word. Some of us have been in church for so long. We've had so many resurrection Sundays. We've broken bread so many times that we think we have no need to be taught. But here were disciples that had walked with him, that probably were there when he was crucified, that knew the 12 by name and where they came from. But Jesus still found an opportunity to keep teaching them. And our journey of faith is we need to continue to be taught by God. No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how many churches you've attended, no matter how many songs you've learned in a service, no matter how many times you've actually preached, we need to walk with Jesus because he is still teaching us today. He teaches us through the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, when he leaves, he says, I am leaving you with the Helper, the Comforter, and he will teach you all things concerning me. And so as we celebrate him today, we want to celebrate him with the heart that, Lord, we want to walk with you. Because you are seeking after us, but we also want to be a learning people. People who spend time reading the word of God, searching the mind of God, listening to the will of God, ebbing into the what the Holy Spirit is prompting us. They get to a little town, still walking. The Bible there says, Jesus pulls a little trick on them and he says, all right, so I'll check you guys out later. I'm out of here. And then they say to him, no. It's a bit dark now. Why don't you come in? Come in with us. Just come in. We can have some food together. Jesus was setting them up. They thought, look, we are inviting him in. They don't know that he was inviting them back into his vision. And Jesus has a habit of doing that. When we think we're doing something for God, do you know that he actually is doing something for us? When we think like, oh, I'm just giving towards the kingdom. I'm just giving towards this charity. Do you know that Jesus is actually doing something for us? He's setting us up. No, I'll just go to that follow group so that, you know, two guys sitting in a coffee shop by themselves looks weird. It looks like they're couples. So I'll just go there so that, you know, we're three, so that it looks a little better, right? And you think you're doing it for the two who attend regularly. But you know what? You're actually doing it for yourself. Jesus is actually doing something for you. So they get in there, they're sitting down, and Jesus says, give me some bread. Takes the bread. I don't know how, if that's the way he broke it. But he breaks the bread. And in the way that he broke the bread, because Jesus broke the bread, it's mentioned at least 9 times in the Gospels, they recognized him. It was through the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the juice that they recognized him. It was when they came into that moment of community that the blessing of the Lord was actually poured out. It is when their eyes were actually illuminated and they realized, oh no, he is risen. He is here with us. And some of us, we live our lives where we are by ourselves in our homes and, you know, I've got this app, you know, that gives me a word every day. I've got this Spotify, this Christian music worship thing that I listen to every week. I don't need community. I don't need anyone. I don't need to go to church. It's too much of a drive. It's too early in the morning. It's too cold. But there was something special about Jesus still blessing us through the breaking of bread. When people come together and they remember him and they break bread, the blessing of God actually comes through. In 1 Corinthians, actually chapter 11, verse 26, Paul puts it this way. He says, for as often as you break this bread and you drink the cup, you actually proclaim the coming of the Lord. You proclaim the death of the Lord until his coming. Every time we come together as a community and we dedicate time to stand together as a family and we break this bread, because this was one of his last commandments, we're actually declaring and proclaiming that he is dead, but that he is coming. So they do this thing, they realize, oh my gosh, it's him. It's him. He's here. Oh my gosh, it was you. Jesus, how could you do that? Man, that was cool. Before they can hug him, he vanishes. He vanishes. If that was me and my wife, you know, we'd probably been like, we are so special. Let's go back into our road and let's go back to Amos, wherever we were going. Because Jesus has chosen to come and just reveal himself to the two of us. So we're going to go and start Matthew and Michelle Ministries International. Because it's the two of us who have specifically, don't clap, we'll get thrown out of the church. Andre, don't clap. Pierre, I'm sorry. Can we edit that? Let's edit it, right? But the two of them, they realize, wait a minute. We have seen the risen king. We have seen that he is alive. So the Bible says they turn around and they run back to Jerusalem. All of this was happening because Jesus wanted to send them back to be witnesses and to be testimonies for the other people that were left in the room. Why? Because Jesus is still sending us. The encounters that he has with us, he is still sending us. That whole conversation, all those things that he was teaching them about himself and the prophets and the law, all those things, he wanted to embed a word in them so that when they go back, they just don't go back and say, hey, we saw Jesus. They go back with a word. They can explain everything they've been taught. They can strengthen the brethren. They can encourage others that indeed we have seen him and we're his witnesses. And today Jesus is still sending us. Amazing thing happens a couple of verses down the line. They're in this room. The two are back and they're having this conversation. Jesus just appears in the midst of them. And he starts to talk with them. And something amazing happens. He goes to a hill with them and he says, you know what, guys, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me, right? But it's been given to me. I am now officially at the top of the food chain. But you know what? You are at the top of the food chain with me as well. So go ye therefore. And make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Make disciples of them. Make disciples of them. And I will be with you until the end of the age. He gives them this instruction. That me being risen, me being resurrected, is not just to comfort you. It's not just to remove the trauma of what you've seen over the last 2 days. It's not just to make you feel good. It's not just to put you in a small community of, oh, we are the 12, we are the 72 that walked with him. He says all of this has happened so that all authority in heaven and earth, authority over sickness, authority over demonic powers, authority over the principalities and the powers of the earth, authority over death itself has been given unto me. And therefore, you must go. You must go from this place. Go from this place and make disciples. Saints, Jesus is sending us, but guess what? Jesus is coming back. Whilst they're standing there, they're looking, I can imagine, and you know, I've seen a couple of movies of how they try to illustrate what happens at this moment. You've got a bunch of disciples standing, and you know, graphically you see whoever is acting Jesus in the movie or in the film, you know, starts to rise up into the air, and then you start to see him disappear in the clouds. And this is people's imagination, right? And that's how I imagine it probably happened. But it says in the Bible that as they were standing there, looking up, amazed, encouraged, happy, like he's alive, he's risen, two angels came again to them and tapped them on the shoulder and said, hey, that same Jesus that you've seen go up, that same Jesus is coming back. Saints, Jesus is coming back. And that is good news to share. Maybe some of us are like those students on the bus who are sitting there and you're, I don't have good news to share. You know, I'm carrying a lot of disappointment. I'm carrying a lot of hurt. I'm carrying situations where things do not work out the way they should have worked out. I'm carrying prayers that were not answered, people who were not healed, businesses that fell apart, retrenchments that happened, and I'm sitting on that side of the bus and I'm depressed. I've got good news to share with you today. He is risen. And that is good enough reason for you to share. Because what Jesus says in John 14, verse 1, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Hallelujah. Believe in God. Let not your hearts be overburdened. Let not your hearts be troubled. If you're sitting in that seat and you feel like, I have no good news to share, things have not turned out, I'm still not healed, this person still passed away, my marriage still broke down, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in the resurrected King, our Messiah. He says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. You might stay in a small house here on earth. You might stay in a big one. But trust me, in heaven, there are many, many, many rooms. And Jesus says, if it were not so, I would have told you. But I am going to prepare a place for you. After all these things that happened on earth, all the teachings, all the miracles, the crucifixion, him being resurrected, he said, I am going to prepare a place for you. That is good news. I want to be in that place. I hope I'm in the Spanish farm of heaven. I want to be in that place. Streets of gold, taps of gold. I want to be in that place. But I want every one of you to be there too. I want my children to be there too. I want my children's children to be there too. I want my friends and my neighbors to be there too. And he says in verse 3 of John 14, and if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, and there you will be where I am also. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. When we read in Revelations, at the end of the Bible, it talks about this place. This is good news. It says, in this city, there is no need for light because the glory of God Himself illuminates the place. He says there will be no more tears. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain. We will be home with our resurrected King, our King who lives forever. And He says we will have our eternal destiny with Him. And so today is a day of celebration. It's a day of us being happy. It's a day of saying, thank you, Jesus, that after all these things have passed, after all these things have ended, the good news that we have is that our Messiah is risen, that He has gone into the heavens, and that He has prepared a place for every one of us to go to. And so even if some of my prayers are not answered here on earth, even some of the things that I hoped for, even if I don't get them, I know I am going somewhere to be with Him. And it is my mission to share the good news that there is a God who has prepared a place for us, a Christ who gave His life for us on a cross and was risen on the third day that we might have life and life eternal with Him. And we celebrate that today. There's a song that I love that I used to listen to many, many years ago. The older generation may know a guy called Ron Kenoly. Older generation over here. And he sings a song called Jesus is Alive. I want to close as we have communion together by reading some of the lyrics from the song. He says, the sun had hid its face, and all the men that walked with Him had turned away. They crucified the Savior and they laid Him in a tomb. That life that once brought love and hope slipped away that afternoon. It says Satan gleaned with pleasure that day at Calvary, for he thought he had won a mighty victory. And like him, all of the demons of hell began to cheer. But little did they know that their end was growing near. Because early on a Sunday morning, just like Jesus said, He broke the curse of sin and death, and He rose up from the dead. Now we have a new beginning in a kingdom that has no ending. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus is alive. He says, death has lost its victory. The grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He's alive, He's alive. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. The curse of sin is broken with perfect liberty. The Lamb of God is risen. He's alive, He's alive. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. The stone that they threw away is the cornerstone today. Death has no more victory. The grave has no more sting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Remember this morning, saints, we have good news to share. We have amazing, amazing news to share. We're going to break bread together. There's a table here in the front, one at that side, one on the other side. Go into groups of two and three and declare this good news. Declare the blessing of the Lord upon each other. Speak life. Speak His goodness. Speak His grace. Remind each other. He is risen. He is alive. We are more than conquerors through Christ who saved us. Paul puts it this way, we've been called to a new living hope because of Jesus' resurrection for the dead. Speak that living hope into each other. Speak peace. Speak victory. Speak eternity. Strengthen each other as saints as we break together, bread together today. And remember all that He has done for us and the victory that we got when He was resurrected. Amen. We can start to break bread. Amen. So Father, we thank You that as often as we break bread, And as we drink of the cup, we proclaim your death and your resurrection until you come. So thank you this morning for the many lives that are gathered in this place. Thank you for the many families that are represented here. Thank you, Lord, that you have reminded us of this good news, that we have eternal salvation with you, and now that is more important than anything that we may focus on even here on earth. Thank you, Lord, that we have been reminded of the task that is before us, Father, to go and share this good news. Father, to go and call people into your kingdom, call them into relationship with you. Thank you indeed, Jesus, that we acknowledge that you are a good God. You're an amazing Father. You're a loving King. And Father, Lord, may we, throughout this week, may we just look for opportunities to share this good news. May we look for opportunities, Almighty Father, just to bring people to you and to lead them to your kingdom and into relationship with you. Father, may we be willing to be taught of you. May our hearts and our eyes be open, Lord, to our communities and the people around us and all those that may need to hear the words of this gospel. Amen.